309 here on WWLAMFM.com and always live on the free Odyssey app. I'm going to be with you for another 50 minutes. Mark, coming up in about 15 minutes, 1-5, I'm going to be talking to Dr. Patrick Porter. He's the founder of a company called BrainTap. He's an expert in brain health. If you're always worrying and scrolling through negative news on your phone or your computer, doom scrolling, we call it, that might be eliciting a fight or flight response in your brain, which is good. We like fight or flight. That keeps us alive in most situations. But if you do that too much and you're neither fighting nor flighting, it can be bad for your brain. Or at least I think that's what I'm understanding what Dr. Patrick Porter is going to tell us. So at about 3:25, we'll check in with him about how you can change your behavior to change your brain without totally disconnecting from our busy world. If you're just sitting down with us in the 1 o'clock hour, what do you call this, Coleman? You call this a rant or a tear or something? I don't know. I spoke for about 20 minutes about a history of Fox News and their relationship with the DC establishment and how that was often kind of at odds with what Americans and specifically conservative voters wanted and were promised. I got a lot of response to that. I got a lot of response to that commentary. It is available on our website. You can rewind and hear that from about 1:25. Or if you like, just text me right now and tell me you want to listen to it, and I'll text you a link back. It's on our website. The name of that podcast episode is Fox News, the virtual reality helmet with no off switch. I would love for you to listen to that, to download, to share it with somebody who you think needs to hear it. I do want to get to some phone calls. You guys have been hanging on for a minute, so let's get started. Tom and Homa, you ready to go, my guy?
All right. So I just wanted to let you guys know that I've been, I don't know if y'all picked up on it or not, but every time I call, I tell y'all that there's going to be a conflict in Georgia coming up in November. Well, November's here.
Mm-hmm.
The election's disputed. I can almost guarantee you that if Kamala Harris gets in there, she's going to want to send you grocery money to Georgia in addition to Ukraine. I just wanted to know if you guys wanted to get out ahead of it before all the liberals jump in on this, feeling positive about it.
I don't feel positive about what's happening in Georgia at all. I'm actually kind of concerned about it. The president, and just to be in, anybody who doesn't know what we're talking about, we're talking about, you know, Georgia in the Caucasus Mountains, not Georgia in the southeastern United States. So they have been targeted by the Russians in the same way that Ukraine and many other fledgling democracies around the world have been targeted with these disinformation campaigns. You know, they tell you, hey, you got to throw these people out and put these people in because they're more sympathetic towards Russia. And if your government isn't more sympathetic towards Russia and doing what Russia wants them to do, you guys are going to be in trouble. So the Georgian parliament did have this election, and the result did not go the way that the Georgian president wanted it to go. If I'm understanding this situation correctly, the Georgian president is standing up for democracy in that country, and the Georgian parliament is going to, you know, decide that they want Georgia to just be another satellite country of Russia. So if that happens, that's very unfortunate for Georgia. But Tom, I don't think there's any reason to believe that that's going to become an armed conflict.
I think ultimately what you're going to see with that is that it's going to start to pivot to we need to send a lot of cash that way, and your groceries will go up.
Why would we be spending money on that? The reason we're spending money on Ukraine is because Putin invaded Ukraine and threatened all the neighbors and allies in Europe. It's not the same situation. Putin is not going
to
invade Georgia.
You have to think fourth dimensionally on this. What's going to happen is that it's going to go just like Ukraine did. Ukraine didn't start off with Russia invading. It started off with an election that was contested. And then Obama went out there, and he got his toe in there. And then Trump got us out. And then Biden got us back in. So I'm just telling you, I'll be ready for it if Kamala wins.
Sure. Okay. Thanks, Tom. I think
he was parasailing.
Yeah. Wow. I hope you land safely, my guy. I don't think we're remembering that sequence of events in quite exactly the same way. Barack Obama did not send pallets full of cash to Ukraine. We did not have boots on the ground in Ukraine. In fact, most of the time I hear from people, they say, you know, Barack Obama just let Putin roll over Ukraine when he, invaded Crimea and annexed that. So it was part of Russia. But again, going back to Tom's point, I don't know what's going to happen with the political situation in Georgia. I don't think there's any reason to expect that Putin will invade Georgia. I don't think Georgia offers the same sort of like geopolitical advantage that Ukraine does. And I don't know if you noticed, but Putin's really got his hands full. I mean, his armed forces is completely decimated. He's borrowing troops from other countries, you know, North Korea to do that now. So, I'm not worried about my grocery money going to support, the Democratic efforts in Georgia. And I don't think you should be either. Let's go to Tom in New Orleans. Tom, you're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hey, Ian, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you today?
I'm doing good. You know, I perform maintenance in the French Quarter. Mm-hmm. You might have seen me around doing maintenance and stuff.
Okay.
And, you know, I think everybody is very worried, and they need to settle down, and we need to look at the big issue. Your clogged toilet from all your papers you're going to be flushing after the election and stuff. So I think what Trump's missing out on is an opportunity to promote and merchandise the Trump toilet plunger, a nice plunger so you can unclog your toilet, you know, and it'll be in the shape of Trump's head with his mouth, which of course would be the opening of the toilet.
Oh, my God.
Painted in the fantastic Trump gold.
Oh,
it'll
be
the
gold.
The most beautiful plunger you could ever have. And of course, we don't say that it's going to, you know, work for sure. So we also have the Trump snake, the toilet snake. It's also gold, the Trump gold color, that you can open up those drains, get those clogged papers out of your toilet, get your toilet flowing again, you know?
That's awesome.
Because you're going to need that. You're going to need that. And, of course, we also promoting the Trump paint, the
but
golden
wait,
color
more.
Paint that all of our... Yeah, everything's painted in the Trump gold paint. And, of course, it's not made in the United States because the EPA won't let it be imported. So we're bringing it in other sources. And, you know, it does have some disclaimers on it and stuff. And, you know, if you do happen to glow in the dark, it's going to be fun for the holidays. And don't even worry about it, you know.
Put it on your shopping
list.
That glow in the
dark effect, that glow in the dark effect is just extra for you.
I love it. Were you in sales before you were in maintenance, Tom?
No, I've always been in maintenance.
Well, if you ever get tired of doing that, you may enjoy a new career in product development.
Buy one plunger, get the next five free. Only $5.99 with shipping and handling.
Buy two now, get the third one for free. Thank you so much for listening, Tom. Call anytime. Thank you for your work. Let's go to Joe in Metairie. He's back. What's going on today, Mr. Joe?
Hey, Ian, where was
Nailed
all
it.
The
Nailed it.
Disgusting Democrats from 2016 to 2020? Where were you people? With your heads in the toilet? Democrats have been in office 12 out of 16 years. How could you vote for a woman who has no experience with nothing against a man who was the president for 4 years?
Okay, Joe, hang on. Joe, hang on. Hang on. Don't get fussy with me. First of all, I'm going to answer the questions that you are asking in order. So go back and just ask me one thing at a time, and I'll try to answer, and we can have a conversation about it, okay?
Okay. So, how could anyone vote for Kamala with no experience, no nothing, word salad, against a man who was in office for 4 years, and the best 4 years in a long, long time?
Well,
answer that.
It's real simple, Joe. A lot of people don't view those 4 years the same way you do. They view it completely opposite. They remember the chaos. They remember, the complete inability to get anything done. They remember, you know, the Muslim ban and the comments about Mexicans and the family separation. They do not view those as like these four golden years the same way
you
do.
Yeah, what about the border and the economy, Ian? What about them two things?
I mean, what about them? The economy was pretty good until COVID hit, but I don't know that besides Trump's tax cuts, he did much else to make that happen. That was, you know, largely already trending in an upward direction from the Obama years. If you got evidence that shows me the reason
Democrats
that the economy was great between 2016.
The country. I mean, whoever heard of something like that?
Joe, let me ask you something real quick. So if you do know that Kamala Harris was the attorney general of the largest state in the country and then was a sitting United States senator from that same state, right?
Yeah, right.
So,
right.
But like
low IQ,
call it what you want, Joe. Call it what you want, Joe. But that is, by any objective measure, a qualification to at least run and become a nominee for president of the United States.
Why she can't it answer is a guarantee question when she's asked a question?
I don't know. I can't defend her for that. She's not the most effective communicator. But there are a lot of people that's not the most important thing. Trump is not the most effective communicator. You're going to tell me Trump doesn't word salad on stuff all the time? You ask him about, baby formula, and he ends up talking
without stopping
and makes no sense.
5 minutes.
Joe, okay. I mean, I guess we'll just agree to disagree because we're obviously watching two different versions.
Agree with me or disagree?
I disagree with you.
Trump talk for 3 hours and Kamala talk for 5 minutes? Do you agree with that?
Trump can talk for 3 hours and go nowhere and make no cogent points and prescribe no policy and convince no new voters.
Yeah, but Ian, you are very biased towards the Democrats. If you know it or not, it's really disgusting to listen to you and Scoot.
Well, then change the channel, Joe. I don't know what to tell you, man. Like, it's easy for me to sit here and point at the Republican nominee and describe all the ways that he's flawed, because not that many other people are doing that. Like, if you went to a party and you wanted to talk to somebody, would you tell them something they've already heard 99 times before, or would you try and have a fresh conversation with them about something new that they haven't heard before?
Ian, what are the
answer
Democrats
my question, Joe. Answer my question.
Say it again.
If you're going to a party and you're trying to make friends and influence people, would you go up to them and tell them a story or tell them a joke that you know they've already heard 99 times before? Or would you say, I have a fresh perspective. I have an alternative. I have something you might not have heard before, and it might yield a more interesting, fruitful conversation, and we might have a more meaningful relationship because of that. Which one would you do?
I mean, I wouldn't ask the question.
Well, then I don't think you're going to make friends and influence people at that party, Joe. But thanks very much for calling. I'm going to step away here. We'll get caught up with traffic with Joe Cardosi. And when we come back, we'll be speaking to Dr. Patrick Porter. But if you're on hold, stay there. I will have time to talk to you afterwards. And we're going to learn a little about the dangers of doom scrolling. You're going to want to know about this. If you're one of the people that's up until 2 a.m. with your phone on your nose, feeling terrible about the world, stick around and listen to this interview. Ian Hoken for Scoot. Be right back. 327 on WWLAMFM.com and always live on the free Odyssey app. Yeah, reading here from theconversation.com, with near constant headlines discussing the devastating crises humanity is currently facing, everything from climate change to political polarization and war, many of us are experiencing feelings of existential uncertainty, and this can manifest in many different ways, such as feeling anxious or distressed when you're consuming the news. You might also feel a more subtle but persistent sense of unease and worry about the future. These feelings are actually linked to changes in the brain, and by knowing how this works, we can understand what techniques will best help us to manage this feeling when we next experience it. Joining us on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text Line to help understand this is Dr. Patrick Porter. He's an expert in brain health, and he's the founder of a company called BrainTap. Dr. Porter, welcome to the show. Thank you for making time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
What does BrainTap do?
Well, BrainTap is we're a brain fitness company, and we train the brain using light, sound, and vibration to balance the brain. We've done research in dementia, Alzheimer's, ADD, ADHD, and also traumatic brain injuries. But we also just maximize brain function and help with stress reduction.
Okay. All right. So to the article, let's start with the bigger picture here. How does uncertainty, just the general phenomenon of being uncertain about something, how does uncertainty about what's happening in our lives impact our brain's response and the hormone levels in our brain?
Yeah. Well, what happens when you have fear and uncertainty, the brain starts to shut down and it turns on a system called the sympathetic system, which is our reactionary system. If you think about our fight or flight response, it turns that on. And when that happens, our digest and recovery system has to go offline. It either is off or on. So you can think of your cells either being in growth mode or in fear mode. And if they're in fear mode, they're not taking in nutrients and they're not absorbing them. So the body will actually start to create those stress forming hormones that have been proven to actually shrink the brain.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow. Don't love that. What are some effective ways to reduce those stress hormones and keep our cognitive function in high gear during the times of uncertainty?
I think the main thing is some things not to do. Don't tune on, don't listen to the news or do anything that's going to cause you to be upset a couple hours before bed, because your nighttime sleep is the time you build up your resources for the next day. So we need to really look at our sleep and what's going on there. With two-thirds of the world not sleeping, that's a big issue. But what you can do during the day is do some things for recovery, because it's all about capacity. You know, nobody's going to get rid of their cell phones or their seat or their computers and or even stop doom scrolling. But what they need to do is know that, hey, when you start to feel that anxiousness, that fear factor come in, you should step away from those things and do some breathing exercises. There's a really easy one. It's a 4-8 breath, where you simply just sit back, close your eyes, breathe into the count of 4, breathe out to the count of 8, and you're actually exercising your nervous system, because it's going to create a little bit of fear when you breathe in. It's going to create the relaxation response when you breathe out, and you're going to train your body to respond to that fear response with a relaxation response. And it might take a few weeks, but if you practice that, you're going to find you'll have much clearer thoughts and the fear won't overtake you.
That's kind of wild, doctor. You're kind of baking my noodle. So you're saying just by you breathe in for 4 breaths and then you breathe out for 8 breaths, and that's stimulating your nervous system in a way, because the in-breath is like fear and the 8 is like the releasing of fear. Am I kind of getting that right?
Yeah. When you breathe out, you turn on that parasympathetic system. There's, you know, we all do what we call a psychological sigh. You know, when you're really fed up and then you finally go, you know, you let it out.
Yes.
That's your body doing what it does naturally. So you can encourage your body to do it without letting it do it naturally. You can just basically start building capacity by seeing when your body's built up with that stress and just releasing it.
I know all about the sympathetic side. I usually turn my microphone off when it happens, but yeah, it's there. And I'm glad also, you know, I was concerned for a second when you said, hey, if you would just turn off the news. I was like, I'm glad I'm on in the afternoon and not, you know, 11 o'clock at night or something like that. Okay, so great. So can you explain then how excessive social media use, the act of doom scrolling, you know, I've been describing it all day long, is when you're, you know, in bed 2 a.m. and you've got your phone right on your nose and you're just reading about all the horrible things that are happening in the world. How does that affect our mental health and brain function?
Well, most people have had an experience where they fell asleep in front of the TV watching like a military movie, and they wake up in a dream where they're in the military, you know, even though they've never been in. But because the brain will take whatever's the last 2 to 3 hours while you're awake, and it's going to play that up. It's going to play that through your dreams. Mm-hmm. So that's why you want to maybe fill up with some positive news. I mean, there's a lot of good news out there, too. You don't have to doom scroll, but just like an accident on the highway, everybody wants to slow down and look at it.
Right.
You know, so it's because our brain is designed to protect us. And even though we don't have as many fears in the world today as we did even 200 years ago, you know, our life expectancy is much higher. At 40 years old, you used to be an old man then. You know, so if you think about it, we don't have as much to worry about as they did, but we just know a lot about what's happening around the world. And it's not really going to influence us, but it's good to know those things, but it's not good to dwell on them.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's hard to remember sometimes that this little machine in our pocket gives us basically free access to the entirety of human knowledge, and we use it to look at car crashes and stuff like that. I mean, it's just like, think a little bigger, people. Okay, but I mean, to that point, doom scrolling, you know, when we think about that, it's usually referring to like reading, you know, like bad political news or, you know, just bad headlines. But I can also imagine some examples, some other types of doom scrolling that might not be so obvious. You know, people that are constantly shopping online for goods and homes that they know they cannot afford, or they're looking at vacations that they know they can't afford to take. Is that doom scrolling?
Yeah, we have a saying that all unhappiness stems from unfavorable comparisons. So when you think about that unhappiness, when you see what somebody else has, and the real trigger here is our biology, because our liver houses 25 grams of sugar. And when we have a stress response to something, even if it's just looking at your phone and seeing a threat, because something happened around the world, your liver dumps that 25 grams into your bloodstream. So a lot of times people who have even diabetes say, I don't eat a lot of sugar, but your body produces sugar. So you produce, that's like eating a candy bar, but you don't get the joy of eating it. But your body, it's triggered so that you can flee that animal that's going to maybe eat you. But this biological system we have called our body is not evolved as much as our technology has. We don't need to worry about those things anymore, but the body is still designed to trigger those responses.
Okay, so great. Dr. Porter's already told us about the breath exercise where you breathe in for 4 seconds and you breathe out for 8 seconds. That's good for your nervous system. Maybe you want to do that a couple times before you go to bed. Doctor, what other advice or sort of tactics might you have for people listening right now, especially, you know, younger people, Zoomers, teenagers, who are struggling to maintain a healthy balance with screen time and avoid information overload? What are some other methods that they could use to kind of balance all that out?
Yeah, one key thing is to remember that by sitting, when you sit for 20 minutes, it's equivalent to smoking a cigarette because your nervous system is starting to shut down. So we always recommend after a meal doing a light walk of 10 to 15 minutes. This is going to accelerate your body's capacity to digest and metabolize the food and also get rid of extra adrenaline and cortisol in the body, because this buildup of our neural hormones is what causes the stress response. If we can build that capacity again, the other is to eat more fresh, live foods, drink half your body's weight in ounces of water. We are a hydro engine, our brain is, and when we get dehydrated, most people don't realize it, but if they don't drink half their body's weight in ounces of water, there's a good chance they are dehydrated. And the body needs that water to process. And when we get dehydrated, feelings of anxiety, depression, all the mental health issues come up, and it could be as simple as drinking more water.
Does tea count, doctor?
If it's herbal tea, it can count.
Oh, man.
Black tea is a diuretic, so what you can do is drink peppermint tea. That's also a stimulant. So if you're looking at a little caffeine kick, it's a natural caffeine. It also cleans your blood.
Okay. Well, I'm going to stick with my lapsang shushong, but I'm just going to drink some more water. Yeah. Okay, so stay hydrated. You know, go for a little constitutional, a little stroll after you eat. I think people intuitively know that that's a thing that feels pretty good. Like if you ate a big meal, you want to go walk around a little bit and kind of comport yourself a little bit back together. And so there are some sort of long-term consequences to not doing all this, right? What are those?
Well, we found out during COVID that teenage girls, actually, their brain shrunk. I mean, I'm sorry, aged 4.5 years during that 1 year. Teenage boys, their brain shrunk a year and a half, and it's because of neuroplasticity. So we need to be doing these things, or literally our brain will age quicker and we'll start to get those onset dementia. I mean, we're having people with Alzheimer's at ages in 30 years old right now. And the only reason that's happening is the high stress we're under and just the bombardment of, you know, when you think about, if you've ever been interrupted, you're doing a piece of work and somebody interrupts you, then you get back to that work, somebody interrupts you. When you keep getting those interruptions, you get angry and upset, and that's happening on a lesser level when you're doom scrolling. So if you think about it, the body's trying to heal, trying to recover, trying to do what it's supposed to be doing, but it keeps getting interrupted. So we need to have those periods of rest, relaxation, even just sitting down, and if you don't want to do a meditation, just put on some nice classical music and just relax for 5 minutes. You're going to see that will do wonders for your mental fitness.
Okay, great. This is such good information, Dr. Patrick Porter is an expert in brain health. He's the founder of this company, BrainTap. Last question, doctor. Are people that listen to this radio program, are they doom scrolling? Is it bad for their brains?
Oh, no, I think most people are looking to be informed. You know, besides doom scrolling, I mean, we have a natural need to want to know things.
Right.
The problem is that if you know, some people have a kind of a ritual where they listen to whatever they listen to or go read whatever they're going to read, and it's fine. But we have a good number of people. I would say a third of the people are doom scrolling, and they're just looking for. Because when you're feeling bad yourself, unfortunately, you go out and find things that support that. Mm-hmm. So we need to get people looking and thinking and being more optimistic. One of the things I tell people when they ask me for your brain's longevity, what's the best thing you can do? And the science shows being a positive thinker adds 10 years to your life. So, you know, we have to be informed. I mean, I wouldn't want anybody not to be informed of what's going on around the world, but you need to realize there's a balance there. You can't just be all negative. You got to balance that out with some positive stuff or do some things that are fun and enjoyable. Give your brain a chance to unwind. You know, a good laugh is always good. You know, watch some comedy, do some things.
I think this is great. I think after the show today, doctor, I'm going to go get a six-pack of Miller Lite and fly my kite. My guest is Dr. Patrick Porter. Thank you so much for your time, your work, and your way. How can people follow you on the internet?
If they go to braintap.com, you can find us on all the social media channels and handles, and they'll see me, Dr. Patrick Porter, as well, on my website and all the social media. We've got some free videos and tips and tricks for people to manage their brain health that are free online.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, doc. Have a great week.
Okay, thank you.
All right, when we come back, I'm going to get to more of your phone calls before we round off at 4 o'clock and make room for sports talk. I want to thank everybody for being a part of the show today. I might have time to get you in if you want to respond to anything you heard from the doctor or me today. Again, the sort of rant that I went on in the 1 o'clock hour is now up on our website. The name of that podcast episode is Fox News, the Virtual Reality Helmet with No Off Switch. You can go find that on the Odyssey app or at WWL.com, where you can download and share it. Or if all that is too much work, just text me right now and say, hey, man, give me the link, and I'll shoot it back to you right there. It'll, boom, be right on your phone. Ian Hoken for Scoot. He'll be back tomorrow, and I'll be back right after this. Oh, sorry. A little while ago, somebody texted in and said, hey, I missed the part of the show where you talked about the origin of the California Psychics jingle, the little... Yeah, that's not just a jingle that was written for California Psychics. That is a song. That is a published piece of music available everywhere. It's called Bubba Dub Bossa. Bubba D-U-B Bossa. It's on Spotify. It's on YouTube. That song is so silly, man. Coleman, go ahead and crank it up just for a second. If you can go get me Bubba Dub Bossa. You can go back and listen to that segment on the Odyssey app. You can just rewind it. But the fella's name that composed that piece, his name is Robbie Poitovin, and he wrote that song, Bubba Dub Bossa, for an Italian James Bond knockoff, which is called Operazione Squalo Bianco, which means Operation White Shark. And yeah, it is a James Bond knockoff. The song also appeared in Curb Your Enthusiasm and has also been used in Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law, and also It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. So it's not just California Psychics that got this. So if you've been feeling like, are you experiencing doubt? You don't know where to find the love of your life? Are you confused about your career? Maybe go watch Operazione Squalo Bianco. Let's take some phone calls. I'll start with Jack in River Ridge. Jack, you're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you doing, Ian?
I'm great. How are you doing, bud?
All right. Look, I do have a question for you, but I wanted to say something to your friend, Joe. You know, Joe, before you voted for Trump the first time, he had a ton less experience in government than Kamala has now.
Obviously.
So I just, maybe to consider that. Also, Ian, here's another question for you. If Trump wins, does he bring Jared Kushner back? Because he was basically running the entire government before. Do you think he'll quit his job with the Saudis?
Nope.
You see, you never hear that on Fox.
How do you think
he got that job?
I think there's, if Trump wins next week, I think Ivanka and Kushner will not return to the White House. I think they got their nut. They got their $2 billion from the Saudis. They got their trademark deal in China. All they want to do is sell purses and collect money on WIDRED. I don't think they want a job in the White House, Jack. I think they're probably done.
Okay, and the question I really called to ask you was, do you think the reason that the Washington Post, places like that, hasn't made an endorsement is because they're worried that if Trump gets elected, do they fear retribution?
100%. Absolutely. Yeah, it's called anticipatory obedience. I think the major newspapers, the Los Angeles Times, the Washington Post, and Gannett did it too with USA Today and like 200 of their papers. They say, we're not going to endorse, not because our opinion staff doesn't have an endorsement, but because we do not want to make that endorsement. And then in January, Donald Trump gets to office and he comes here and starts screwing up our ability to sell papers. I think it's total cowardice. Now, that being said, I am sorry to see that Washington Post lost 200,000 subscribers, because that's going to hurt the paper. That's not going to hurt Jeff Bezos. The paper wanted to make the endorsement. Bezos said no. Somebody else said this on the internet. I think it was Politico or something. They said, if you really want to get back at Jeff Bezos, don't cancel your Washington Post subscription. Cancel your Amazon Prime. And I won't lie. I thought about it for a second.
You know, because I would guess that, what would you say, 70 to 80% of the people who read the Washington Post are liberal? So, probably.
At this point, yeah. I mean, it wasn't always that way. You know, the big papers, the Inquirer and the Los Angeles Times and the Boston Globe and the New York Times. I mean, those used to be things that everybody read because that's where you went to get the news. And then it became very popular to say, that's fake news. And now, you know, not
who's
so many
he really?
People read
right. But I mean, by making an endorsement, who is he really going to sway? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I like we've been saying, you know, for the last month or so, Jack, like if your mind's not made up by now, that's fine. But I have no idea what it is that's going to convince you. Is it an endorsement from Bruce Springsteen? Is it a column in the Washington Post? Is it this Hinchcliffe guy, you know, calling Puerto Rico a garbage island? I don't know. I hope you figure it out before Tuesday.
Ian, thanks for taking my call, man. Have
anytime, Jack. Yeah, we'll talk again soon. Thank you, brother. Have a great week. Let's go to Arthur in Diamond Head, Mississippi. Mr. Arthur, you're on the air. Good afternoon.
Man, thanks for taking my call. And here's another thing for since he called us brothers, black people, yesterday. Mm-hmm. Here's for my brother, Joe.
God, today. Is that just yesterday? Oh, my gosh. Okay, go ahead, Arthur. Sorry.
But, Joe, Mr. Trump has been convicted, and no, they're not trumped-up charges, 34 felonies. Mm-hmm. He has been convicted of sexual assault. And when he was president, he took the country into a Great Depression. We lost 2.8 million jobs. So that's 2.8 million less people paying taxes, sir. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what you're voting for other than the Russian videos that you're watching, Joe. Stop it, please.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Joe Biden, say what you want about it, but he created 16 million jobs in 3 years. I think that's the most in history. I don't know why nobody's talking about it. I absolutely don't get it. I don't get why the Great Depression that Donald Trump put us in isn't being mentioned more. Joe, hopefully you're retired, but you're probably going to lose your job if Donald Trump gets elected.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Arthur. And look, I shouldn't let you go without saying that, you know, it's not like Donald Trump's economic policies caused the 2.9 million job loss. I mean, COVID was really devastating, and he mismanaged that pandemic. And there's a lot of extra people that died that did not need to because of Trump's mismanagement of the pandemic. But there was no economic plan. Go ahead.
But don't you think that he was telling people it was fake, sir?
Yeah. No, I remember. Yeah.
So that's all going to go away right there. He created a lot of those deaths himself.
Mm-hmm.
Himself telling people that COVID was fake and drink bleach. If Kamala Harris had told the American people to drink bleach, sir. Mm-hmm. I don't think she would be running for president. Let's be real.
It is pretty weird what we're willing to put up with some people.
Drink bleach, yeah. Joe. Come on, Joe.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet, Arthur. Man,
great
thanks for
show. I'm a listener every day. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Call anytime. I just to kind of edge off some of the corners. You know, Trump didn't tell people to drink bleach, but he suggested that was something that Fauci and the national health officials might suggest we do. You know, he also said maybe you can stick a light bulb up your, you know, and maybe that'll just make it all go away. Just kind of insane stuff. But look, the final thing I'll say about this, and I'm going to step off the air here in just a minute. I'm not working for the rest of the week. I'm going to take a little time off before the election. I will be back with you on Monday. Scoot will be back tomorrow. People often say, I'm not voting for the pastor of my church. I'm not voting for my kid's babysitter. I'm voting for the president of the United States, as if the president's character doesn't matter. And I will, until I am blue in the face, tell you, yes, it does. A president's character matters so much. It matters a tremendous amount because there will be a crisis. There will be a crisis in the next 4 years or the next 8 years, I promise you. I don't know if it's going to be a energy crisis or a water crisis or a new war or a climate or God knows what else. A president's character in that moment matters a great deal. We do not focus on the basic goodness of our leaders simply because we want them to be good role models. We focus on their character because their goodness can be the thing that keeps people alive. It can be the thing that keeps our society from falling apart. A president's character can be the matter between life and death. We got to step away and look at traffic. I'll be right back after this to say goodbye. All right, coming up on Sports Talk with Bobby, Mike, and Steve, they got the Green Wave head coach. He's on here for Tulane Tuesday at 4:20. We'll get a Week 9 NFL preview with Mark Schlereth. We got the Saints Hour coming up at 7 p.m. with Mike Haas and Mickey Loomis. And then the first edition of Pelicans Weekly, which is kind of the Pelicans coaches show, basically. You're going to hear from Willie Green. That's coming on at 8 o'clock. And then at 8:30, we got pregame, 9 o'clock tip-off, Pelicans at Golden State Warriors right here on WWL AM and FM. Same thing's happening tomorrow night. The Pelicans will be back, same bat time, same bat channel, 8:30 and 9. Very excited to have them in the regular weekly lineup. I want to thank Coleman, Scoot, Diane, and Dan, all my awesome guests, everybody in the audience. Thank you so much for all your calls and text messages, and frankly, your support. I kind of went out on a limb today, and I'm glad I did because it seemed like you enjoyed it. So I will be taking a couple days off to enjoy this weather. I'll be back on Monday, and then holy cow, the election is here. Have a great week, y'all.